there's no way that four people in the middle of the day can get out in a crowded apartment complex, fire 40 rounds, get back in the car, and then leave, and no one knows anything. We know that's not the case, so we're asking for your help. We cannot allow this to happen. This is not the type of community we're going to live in. This is not the type of thing that we're going to tolerate.
So that's Sheriff Simmons at a press conference just last Friday. Of course, he is on the line with us right now. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, welcome back to the show, sir. What have your investigators who have been out actively working this Oakwood terrorist shooting case since Thursday, what have they discovered at this point?
Well, as you can imagine, from the very moment that it happened, we had what I'll call a tremendous response from the sheriff's office, but we're also assisted heavily by state agencies, the Florida Highway Patrol and Game and Fish were there as well. We have worked throughout the weekend. We do have some people of interest. We put out a photograph of two individuals, and we're asking if anyone knows who they are, but not just who they are, because if you know them, you may have seen them that afternoon or that day. So we're trying to piece together what those two were doing, which would have been just prior to the shooting, and we're asking for more people to get information. We do have some leads. We also put out a third person that was yesterday, Roderick Skinner, and he is also a person of interest, but we want to just question him. So there are three people right now that we have identified. They may have some knowledge as to the shooting, and two of them we have not yet positively identified, although we do, again, have some leads. And then the third one, we know his name. We put that out yesterday, and we're asking that people give us the information.
Look, it's a horrible thing, and to take place in the middle of a public area in basically broad daylight, you know, toward the evening, it's awful. And to hear you talk about it last Friday, it was awful to think about. Have you been able to identify even, like, who was the target? Was the target even there? Have you gotten to that point in the investigation, or are you still trying to figure that stuff out?
No, I think, again, our investigators are doing a really good job. They're working with Pensacola Police investigators as well, because we do not believe that these things just happen in one jurisdiction. So while I can't get into all of the details and tell you everything that we know, we do have an understanding or an idea of who the intended target was. I mentioned at the press conference that it is not random. You don't drive in and go past, you know, 10 or 12 apartment complexes, stop at this one particular one, and then just start shooting in. That's not random. So, yeah, we do have some information. We know, we think we know who they were targeting, but we're still trying to piece all this stuff together, and we really need to talk to some of these people.
Are you getting very much cooperation from the residents and or the victims in the shooting?
I would say that from the residents, we are getting some cooperation. The ironic part, for me at least, is I was attending a Crime Stoppers function that night, and I had to leave the Crime Stoppers function early to go by Oakwood Terrace and you know, discuss this. And during my conversation, I was talking about how valuable Crime Stoppers has been for us, and we want to make sure we continue to let people know. All you have to do is call Crime Stoppers. Give us the information. We will do the rest. And again, your name is never used. We won't even ask your name. And you could be eligible for a reward. So we do know, and as you heard me say in the conference, there's no way that someone doesn't recognize these people. There's no way that's possible. I mean, it was in broad daylight, and there were a number of people that were around. And a lot of people, even after that, have heard a lot about what's going on. You know, word spreads pretty quickly. And I'll tell you this, while we have got some information, there's no way that we got all the information that we could have had. So we're just, again, asking for cooperation. This is these are people's homes.
Yeah.
And we, again, as I mentioned in the conference, we cannot tolerate that type of behavior.
Yeah, and I was really, it's not any kind of surprise. I've known you a long time, and I know where your heart is on this stuff. But, I talked about this a little bit the other day. I think some people have the reaction, well, that's Oakwood Terrace, or that's a housing project, or that's those people. And I'm like, oh, my God, no. Every citizen, especially the poorest and most vulnerable have a right to feel safe in their persons and on the street anywhere in Escambia County. And I know you guys take that very seriously, and I was glad to hear you talk about that as well. Plus, they came from somewhere else. I mean, they obviously didn't come from inside that housing project. One of the other stories you and I have talked about before, but we did have some follow-up information on it, this shooting that took place between one person and a group of motorcyclists, and you've gotten in, I guess, in custody, Delaney Battle Donson, but now it looks like he was wanted on Georgia charges relating to terroristic threat making. Is that right?
Yeah, this is kind of a long story. We first became aware of him during that incident where he circled back a couple times and ended up firing several rounds into a group of motorcyclists off of 9 Mile Road. A couple days later, we determined who it was. We went to his house, ended up having a SWAT call out because he wouldn't come out. And we ultimately arrested him. After we arrested him, he made bond. And then he went and assaulted some people over at Pensacola Honda in April, a couple days ago. And so we arrested him again on, I think it was 3 counts of assault. And then he had some marijuana on him as well. And then while we were there, we found out that there was a hold on him out of another state. I can't remember, Georgia maybe, and for terroristic threats. Now, I don't know what those terroristic threats are. He was saying some kind of crazy stuff whenever we were in the middle of our SWAT operation, you know, trying to get him out of there. So I have no idea, but it's just a continuing running criminal enterprise for this guy.
Yeah, you know, and it makes me wonder, and you tell me if I'm wrong, and maybe from the point of view of the citizen, it doesn't much matter whether something is more of a Baker Act circumstance or a repeat offender circumstance, but it sounded like maybe this leaned more into the Baker Act direction. Am I reading this wrong?
I would not say that,
okay.
Andrew. You know, we talk a lot about people that need mental health counseling. I'm not saying that he doesn't need some counseling.
Okay.
That's for someone smarter than me to figure it out. But when you're shooting at people on motorcycles and when you're assaulting people at local businesses, our job is to take you to jail. And then they have mental health counselors. They have people that can give him the medication that he may need.
Sheriff, we had another event that took place on, Saturday? We had a drive-by on Georgia Avenue. Now, as I understand, nobody was hit, but you guys had the kind of an interesting follow-up to that, right?
Yeah, you know, sometimes it doesn't get the airplay that, you know, the shooting at Oakwood Terrace gets. But, yeah, we had a drive-by shooting on Saturday earlier in the day where an ex-boyfriend allegedly fired in at the new boyfriend. Well, we got the information, and our deputies, as I've been telling people, did a great job, found the car with a suspect in it. We tried to stop him, and as criminals do, he tried to flee from us, causing us to, bump him a little bit. And then, so the car was immobilized, and then he and another passenger jumped out of the car. We chase and catch both of them. We ended up chasing down Daryl Hayes. Arrested him for the shooting earlier, and we also arrested a Frederick Crenshaw. He had a warrant on him. But what I think that is indicative of what we deal with every day, in the car we found 3 cell phones, a handgun, some scales, $5,000 in cash, and listen to this, 6 grams of spice, 220 grams of meth, 12 grams of powder cocaine, 15 grams of crack cocaine, 11 grams of oxycodone, 35 grams of fentanyl, and 178 grams of MDMA. This is a lot of drugs. This guy had scales. This guy had guns. This guy was fleeing from law enforcement. These people are dangerous to our community, and we are not going to just let them flee and get away. Now, we evaluate all of our pursuits, but in case like this where we know he had a gun, we know the suspect used a gun earlier, we're going to do what we can to stop this guy for the protection of the residents of Escambia County.
Wow. Wow, and something that, you know, obviously it began with gunfire, but it was a domestic. You know, it was the kind of thing, like you said, with a boyfriend angry about the girl dating a new guy, and we tend to classify that in a different way than we think about, you know, drugs and guns and gangs and that kind of stuff. And it turns out to have been that one as well, which is, wow, so good work for your folks getting him arrested and getting, you know, safely recovering him and getting all that evidence against him. Wow, you're right. I had no idea, but that's an amazing story. Hey, the one thing I wanted to ask you about, you know, we've been talking a lot about this HB1, the, you know, the anti-riot legislation. The governor signed it into law yesterday. You would be on the front line of enforcing this law. Do you feel like this law gives you tools you don't already have? Do you feel like this law is unnecessary? Is there any? I mean, what's kind of your reaction to the fact that this is now the law, or at least it will be here shortly?
I do support the law. I do understand that there are already some laws in place that we could use, but I do think it gives a little more teeth. It gives a number like a $200 damage for a certain crime. While I have not studied the law, I do think there are some things that will help us. We have not had that problem here in Escambia County, where these people are these criminals would be walking down the street and tearing up things and looting. And I don't foresee us having that. But I just think that any law that protects the citizens and the property in the state of Florida is a good law. Again, I'm not saying we didn't have some of these tools earlier. There's no reason to disagree with the law, in my opinion.
Very good. And the last thing I want to ask you, and by the way, it is effect in place right now. It's not a July 1st. It's a take effect upon becoming a law. So the governor signed it, and it's the law right now. Last thing I wanted to ask you, obviously, I know you've been carefully following the selection for the Pensacola police chief. You were the chief. Tommy Leiter was the chief. You're very close, of course, to Kevin Christman, who is a candidate for the job. One question that I don't think you and I have talked too much about, and forgive me if I've asked you before, but if somebody who's not a part of the force comes in to take over as the chief of police, do you see that as potentially interfering with the very, very tight connection that PPD and Escambia County Sheriff's Office have functioning right now? Are you concerned about that at all?
Matt, I do think that it's a concern. Anytime a new police chief takes over, there's going to be some changes, whether you're an internal candidate or you're an external candidate. That is always a concern, but you don't know that until you actually talk to that individual. You know that I supported Kevin Christman. He has a very good working relationship with the police department, with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. I know the caliber of officer he is, and I'm a little biased because I came from the Pensacola Police Department. When I was selected as a police chief, I was an internal candidate, and my boss was an internal candidate, and the ones that followed me were internal candidates. It seemed to me like they had a really good line of internal candidates. And while I wish that Kevin would have been given the opportunity, that is not my choice. That is the choice of the mayor. And whatever they chooses, whoever he chooses, we will certainly work with them.
Well, spoken like a true professional, which I know everybody in this discussion is. Chip Simmons, he is the Escambia County Sheriff. Sheriff, thanks so much for the time. Thanks for doing what you do to keep our people safe. We certainly appreciate the work.
You bet. Take care.